the most action-packed content from the top mobile experts. This is the App Masters Podcast with Steve P. Young.
Blue Throne's new partnership model just received an $85 million credit line and now allows you, app creators, with product market fit to stay in the game and not sell your entire business. And you still get to enjoy the excitement of scaling through Blue Throne's advanced SDK technology, publishing network, and their specialized scale team. Look, growing your app beyond a certain point all by yourself is almost impossible. Trust me, I've scaled a lot faster by teaming up with others. Because your beloved baby, your app, must mature and transform into a company. Blue Throne's new partnership model is better than any VC investment because it gives you cash in hand, your life back, and the right to see your app adopted by millions while making millions. Learn more by going to bluethrone.io. That once again is bluethrone.io. Got an app idea that you think will be the next unicorn, but you don't know what to do next? Well, with more than 15 years of experience creating software, b7dev.com can help you out. Schedule a free 1-hour call by going to b7dev and let them know that Steve sent you. That, once again, is b7dev.com.
You left a lasting impact that he's just calling me James now. Everybody's James from now on. All right, I'm going to do something a little bit different. Put together a pretty good panel of guests, so I'm going to introduce them one at a time. Is everybody up? Where's Sunny? Sunny there? He's not here? All right, screw him. All right, here we go. She is the co-founder and CPO, Chief Product Officer of Mindful Mamas. They are an app supporting the wellness of mothers through curated programs, including mindfulness tools, daily practices, and techniques. Let's give a round of applause to Jillian Lee Stout. Next, she's the CMO and co-founder of True Healers, a marketplace to instantly book expert wellness services for the mind, body, and spirit. Let's give it up for Melanie Boslin. And Sunny should be here somewhere. So we've got a... What do you guys want? You guys want to sit? You want to stand? I thought we were going to have a couple more chairs. I'm fine standing too. All right, Jillian, kick us off. I know you've done a lot of things here. Here. We'll share.
Hello.
Okay. That is on.
Is it on?
I can also talk loud. Okay.
No.
Okay.
For me, you know, the reason why I wanted to talk about this, I think everybody talks about the big. When you're big, what do? But everybody has an infancy stage. And so we're going to talk about how do you generate revenues when you're just getting going. And Jillian, you have a very spicy topic that you want to lead it off with. Go ahead, kick it off. I'm going to let you say it.
About which spicy topic? Because I feel like I have a lot of them.
The semi...
Oh, yeah. We have an experiment we're running right now. We're an all-female team, a bunch of moms. I'm the only one that doesn't have human children, just fur children. But the rest have human children. Anyway, the name of this experiment is the semi-hard paywall, and it always makes everybody giggle, so I'm sorry if that's offensive to anyone, but that's what it's called. And the reason is that after speaking with Steve about removing the close button on the paywall, I was convinced we needed to try this experiment. So we actually have, I think we have a screenshot of it, we have a two-page paywall, and so what we did is...
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, you went... Further. Yes. Oh, yep. We removed the X button on the first paywall. And so we used to have an X button on both paywalls. And so they would get this first like list paywall. And then if they wanted to find out about, you know, other offerings that we had, they could view all plans. So what we did is we made this semi-hard by removing that first one and then they can go to the second paywall and still close. And we saw some really interesting results from this. And that's on the next screen. How do I just hit? Ah, yeah. So here you're going to see, like, this is like the real deal. I guess people don't always share real numbers, but those are some like real numbers. So I hope that you're impressed and that I'm not just embarrassed showing you these. But we were seeing active free trials for our app sitting at about 500 active free trials a day at the beginning of December. And then we always see a big spike in New Year's seasonality. And then I released a build in the app that had a bug that I wasn't aware of. And that's where you see that giant, like, crash in my active free trials, where that double paywall stopped showing. And so after we fixed that, we started to see the increase not only from showing the double paywall, but then also removing that close button. And now we're actually tracking and continuing to climb close to what looks like our seasonality, which is blowing my mind. And this bug taught us something interesting, and that is that it wasn't just about the conversion on the single screen, but what we found is that it's actually that two-step that's allowing us to capture users who don't convert initially on a second screen. And so from an accidental bug, we learned a couple of interesting things. So yeah, that's my controversial topic, mostly because of the name of the experiment.
Let's go back to the semi-hard part. So this timeline one is the first screen. How do I X out of this? How am I able to see, hey, mama, you deserve this?
So the only way you can close that, or the only way you can get to the second screen, is if you see the little view all plans at the very bottom in this teeny tiny text. That button is what takes you to the second screen.
Oh, I see.
And then that the pictures at the top actually cycle through. It's a gallery, and that starts to show you some of the different features and things. We have stats and stuff that run, so it gives you more information about what you actually get, some social proofing, and things like that.
Yeah, I love it. You want to get into some of that, the web stuff that you guys been doing too?
Yeah, I can talk about that. So in terms of, this is just like how it impacted our initial conversion events. So the first was like free trials, and then it's a similar graph for that. But so one of the things, yeah, the next screen is fine. This is basically the same thing. It just shows you that, like, so the first, my big drop-off was the bug. And then by putting the double paywall back, we saw our initial conversion increase by that 4%. And then doing the semi-hard paywall, now I've recovered up to the 16.4%. And that's download to converting to trial or purchase. So that's a big impact for us.
Those are amazing. I mean, the...
They are? Oh, good.
Average that I've seen is anywhere from like 5 to 10%. You're doing pretty well, but anything from 10 to 20, you're doing exceptionally well.
Also, something early stage, you don't always know if you're doing a good job or not. You know, you're kind of guessing. So, yeah. Thanks.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, so one of the things that we talked about when we were initially discussing this talk is really about like creative strategies for early stage. The term I like to use is we're a lean, mean startup machine. So we have limited resources, limited talent, limited, it feels like everything. And so getting really creative on how can we get people to convert, for us in particular, one of our challenges is engineering resources and how we're deploying our funds. So one of the ways we found to do this is by doing some Stripe, transacting through a Stripe payment portal. I hope there's no Apple people here. And we do this through email campaigns. So, and initially we were doing a manual like activation for users to turn on their subscriptions, which I know is a big lift, but the whole point is to like generate revenue at the early stage. So you do the fast and dirty stuff. And so this is just an example of like a three-tiered offer campaign we have that goes out to our users via email. And this is for users who haven't started a trial or done any initial conversion in the app. We try and capture them through email campaigns. And this bypasses their app experience altogether, but the idea is to try and capture more conversion if we didn't initially in the app, right? Also, it's a heck of a lot easier to test pricing and promos in Stripe than it is in setting up all your like Apple configurations for your product. So this is like kind of a fast and dirty, nitty gritty way we do that. And I just wanted to show some examples. I also wanted to just brag about our email open rates, and that's why those numbers are up there. Because they're really good, we think.
Yeah, those are amazing. You know, I had one client where she wanted to create a store within her app. And I was like, you know what? There's an easier way to do this. Let's just recommend some products from Amazon, become an affiliate for them, send an email. She gets about 30% open rates. And I mean, pretty close to your open rates. But, and then we made like, look, it's not a lot, but we made $100. Like, it was easy. Just one email recommending some products on Amazon, and we're able to make some money out of it. Then now I'm like, all right, your consumers are probably going to buy from you if you recommend a product. Mm-hmm. So a little quick and easy test there too. All right, Mel, you got a similar case study about some of the web stuff. I absolutely love this stuff because sometimes you just don't understand if it's a UX problem, if it's a UI problem, if it's a product problem. And so things on the web, a lot easier to test than getting the developer to do everything. So let me go to those slides real quick. Oh, here we go.
Okay, yes. So our app is a marketplace to book different wellness professionals, massage therapy, tarot readers, everything from wellness to witchy. And we hired all of our healers. We call them healers. And the problem was, is we had so many good quality healers because we do background checks. We make sure that they're experts in their field. We make sure they have their certifications. So you're not just getting a tarot reader or a sound healer from, you know, Google. You're getting a legit one. So we had so many high-quality healers on our app that we found that people didn't know where to start. So we have more than 35 different categories, and then we introduced something called a concierge service. So the concierge service basically matches you with a healer after taking a quiz. And it's a more personal way to get to know our audience and test to see what they're interested in. So we started with an email that leads you to the quiz, and then from there, our team will match you with a healer and make sure that you have a great experience. And we found a really great conversion rate with that. People love quizzes. People love being asked about themselves. How many of you guys have ever taken a what's my spirit animal quiz, or what house in Hogwarts am I? So people love that, and it just gives us a chance to, like I said, make it more personal. And the conversions were pretty cool. I mean, within a month, if you want to, thank you. This is just in a month, we have different campaigns running, some from our website, some PPC campaigns, and then just in the email nurture flow. But you'll see we got 51 leads just within the last month or so without even trying. These are just people coming to our website, doing searches for various healing services. So, pretty awesome.
Yeah. I love this strategy. I love this strategy because, frankly, you can set up a PPC campaign, a Facebook ads campaign, pretty easily if you just send them to the web. And so I had one client that I was talking to. He was literally using his app entirely for quizzes, and that was it. And he was trying to upsell them to a one-on-one consulting. But that's the power of quizzes, too. So I love that. And then, Sunny, I didn't do a proper intro for you because you were gone.
I was late.
So Sunny's got a platform where they help coaches productize their services, their content into an app. And he's got a lot of great, if you guys are doing any type of influencer marketing, this guy knows how to take your followers into subscribers. So you want to share some of that strategy?
Yeah, totally. Thank you so much, Steve. My last name is Dooley, and my team always says that we've been Dooley'd whenever I'm late. So, all right, sorry about that. Okay, so I think we had the next slide. Yes, perfect. So, just like Steve mentioned, that my company's called Breakthrough, and essentially we take... the way I like to explain it is we're like OnlyFans, but for wellness and mobile first. So basically... On the left, what you'll see is Sam Gack. He's a wellness influencer, very flexible. And we've made his app called Stretch, and we have a white label platform, so we can launch a new app in a single day. And without any paid ads, we've gotten almost, in the last two years and change, we've gotten almost 1 million downloads across all of our apps. That's $0 in paid ads. And, you know, our strategy to do this was very influencer heavy, so we've... So Sam is one of the influencers that we work with, and we have 65 others. But essentially, what we, what we have done is created this platform, this app that Sam can kind of claim it to be his app and just upsell it to his followers. Various strategies have been doing giveaways, and sometimes we do challenges on the app, and that's a great way to like bring the community into the app and just say, hey, to participate in a giveaway, you can win maybe a yoga mat or you can win some $100 gift card. But what you have to do is you have to post about the app in your story. So then all their friends are seeing that they've posted. And so that's been a great way for us to get a lot of downloads really quickly. And I think maybe flip to the next one. One thing I want to mention, so in the last 3 years, I myself am not an influencer. I have like 300 followers on Instagram, but working and being very close with a lot of our partners who are influencers, I've learned a lot about kind of what makes them tick and what they are. And one of the things that's common across all influencers, and this, by the way, is like not your Twitter or LinkedIn influencer, this is like Instagram, TikTok, YouTube influencer, they all have a love and hate relationship with the platform. So all of them like love being there, but they actually hate it too. And you know, I really realized this recently where for me, having Breakthrough as my company, it's my baby. For them, their business is not their baby. They are the business. And that's quite a distinction where they can never turn it off. So lots of emotional ups and downs. Having said that, one of the metric that's really affects their mental health is their engagement. That's where you see the little key beside the orange graph. So this is a Influencity that we use on our team just to see what is the engagement in different demographics of an influencer. Back in like 2 years ago, I was very tied up with the follower number. If you don't already know, follower number does not mean anything. So somebody could have 300,000 followers. If their engagement is like 0.1 or 0.01, three people will download that app, you know? So we've realized, like, as you can see, so this particular tool tells us what the median engagement rate is. So this is Margaret, one of our partners. She's amazing, got a really good engagement rate. So engagement rate is super key, and also the demographics. I got one more.
Was there like a target engagement rate that you're looking for?
Usually more than the median, at least 1%. What we've seen in really good circumstances, in really good cases, like Sam, I showed you, he has 400,000 downloads. He's been able to get 200,000 downloads, or sorry, 400,000 followers, and he has 200,000 downloads on the app. So because his engagement is like 10%. His engagement's really high, without doing any paid ads. So we're looking for at least that 1%.
Yeah. And I personally found anytime you can niche down, you know, a lot of times from an ASO perspective, you might be just going after workouts, at-home workouts. When you niche down to like just say stretching, I know Sam's number one for stretching, the higher conversion, you get jillion type of conversion numbers when you niche down like that. And so I really like that. And that's where the semi-hard comes into play too.
Oh, this is one other thing that we've done. So we're a wellness platform, so we strictly only do wellness apps. So one of the things that we've realized, just experimenting a lot for early stage growth, has been aligning ourselves either on world events or a specific holiday. Like if you go to Google and type in, what are the different, list me all the holidays, or you tech people can ask ChatGPT, and you'll get a massive list. Like one example that I'm sure 50% of the room does not know about, June 21st is International Yoga Day. Does anybody know that? You did not. That was our biggest revenue day last year because we have a bunch of yoga apps and we aligned ourselves with that day and used that day to promote, you know, free yoga challenge, 50% off promotion. This is a graph of when COVID-19 first happened and like in the U.S. it was like shelter in place. The way we responded to it, we actually didn't even try to make money from it. We were just like, let's just help people and do what can we do. So what we did is for a few of our yoga apps, we made a yoga challenge to be free for everybody. Everybody's stuck indoors. It's like, okay, at least let's stay sane and use our apps to do a free yoga challenge. And then literally every week after that, our subscribers numbers just kept climbing. So even though it was free, that was one of the content that was free in the app to bring people in, but people still saw the value, and then our subscriber numbers accelerated.
Jillian, on the topic of giving away things for free, you have a partnership thing that you did too.
Yeah, that graph you were showing with the arrow for when COVID-19, everybody got locked in their house, is actually like the day we launched our app. Was the day our governor put us in the stay-at-home order. So moms were going nuts, which was good for us, I guess, maybe, I don't know. So another place that we've seen success is in partnerships. And we kind of discussed this a little bit, but I think in terms of partnerships, the thing that I want to highlight, like the biggest takeaway, is I think authenticity. So as a company, I feel like this can work really, really well for a brand. It's worked well for us. When you are authentic about that partnership, if it really truly is something that hits at the core values and core message of the company, or something that you know is at the core of what your users care about. For us, that's PSI. Postpartum Support International is a hotline that any mom can call at any time to get resources if she's struggling with postpartum mental health issues. And so with Postpartum Support International, we've done several campaigns with them, but basically we offer as a scholarship a 1 year of access to the Mindful Mamas app for any mom that contacts PSI and receives any of their services. And when we first ran this campaign, we've been running it for about a year, we had 942 activations from our initial campaign, which kind of blew us away. We had this huge influx of downloads that were organic, and because we weren't adequately testing our deep link flow, we didn't realize initially where they were coming from. But that's, you know, another, I guess, topic. But we figured it out, and it was from this campaign. And we're now seeing, it's been interesting because it's just in the last month, we're seeing purchases from these moms that were on these PSI promo codes that are buying subscriptions now that their promo has expired. We continue to get moms that are downloading from this PSI campaign. We've done several campaigns in partnership with brands, but as a wellness company, it's something that we try to be very careful. We don't want to contribute to the noise, right? We're really about mental wellness, supporting mental wellness. We know that moms are already overwhelmed. We know that moms already feel like they aren't meeting the expectations of society. The last thing we want to do is throw a bunch of products at them that we're going to continue to make them feel like they're not doing a good enough job, right? So we take that really seriously, which is why we're so specific about these types of partnerships or co-marketing campaigns. This one's been really successful for us.
I love that. All right, Mel, let's talk about community building and the things you guys are doing with your healers.
Yes, well, I love that you mentioned authenticity, because that's something really, really huge for us, is building an authentic community, not only with our audience and our client base, but within our people as well. So when we started, we were very super humble, just a few healers at a time, and we were thinking, how can we get them involved and build this community? So what happened is we started doing Instagram Lives once a week, where we would have different healers on to talk about their specialty. This is Tasha Love right here. She's a hypnotherapist. And they loved it so much that they wanted to come back. And then they go a little deeper into what they want to talk about. And we get bookings just for this Instagram Live content. And what I also found is the healers themselves, they love being promoted, so they'll promote on their page. So it's free promotion for us, because, you know, they're saying, oh, we got featured on True Healers. They're really proud of it. And then we get their following and their audience. And it just kind of snowballs into this really cool community. We do AMAs, Ask Me Anythings, with some of our healers. We actually have one tonight with a life coach. And then sliding into DMs. I know it's kind of a joke, but not really. Because reach out to our audience individually. When our app launched in last July, I messaged every single one of our followers saying, hey, we're live, check us out. By the way, here's a discount. And we got a bunch of engagement from that and a bunch of good conversions. But also people realized that we were people behind a brand. And we're still building that community, and it's awesome to see that engagement and that participation. And we also had in-person events that we would use to, like one was a yoga and full moon ceremony, where one of our healers would we made an Eventbrite before the app launched, and we would have people come physically meet our healers to help build that authenticity and connection with our app and our brand and our people behind it. And then last but certainly not least, communicating like a human has been really, really big for us because we are a wellness app and we don't want to sound all brandy. I've always been kind of against doing things business as usual. So I find that people really resonate with our authenticity and just we talk real. Sometimes I'll throw in a few curse words here and there, you know, keep it cool. But yeah.
Yeah, I totally align with that. Building an authentic community and an authentic post, even as an influencer. One thing that I just wanted to add was, if speaking to the people who are interested in like, hey, I want to get an influencer in my business, and how do I get these big influencers that have a million followers? Because if you DM them, likely you're not going to get a response because you go into this little other inbox that they usually don't look at. So the way to get a hold of them has... You can try to DM them. I've gotten a few of our influencers through DMs, and I just got lucky, I guess. The big one is email. Email works like magic. So I've used any of these like mail merge softwares like Streak, or there's a bunch of other ones where you can do automated follow-up campaigns, and I've had a lot of success with that. Also, you know, you don't want to just do spray and pray, like. I'm now really good friends with my influencer friends. They get so many emails from all these companies saying, hey, let's build your app. And they haven't even looked at their page. They already have an app. So if you can personalize it, and you know, with these platforms, you can add variables and stuff, and you can really hyper-personalize. The one strategy that we've found is going to places where the influencers hang out already. So one example is we were this last year... a big vertical for us was to go into meditation. So we're like, okay, where do meditation influencers hang out? Then I found out there's an app called Insight Timer, which has 6,000 meditation coaches on it. And so I just got my assistant to just pull a list of all of them and email addresses and stuff like that. And then we didn't hit all 6,000. Obviously, we qualified and hit a subset. And that had insane open rates on a cold email. And I have an article that I can share with if anybody's interested, if you want to add influencers to your business.
I want to piggyback on the email idea. You saw those open rates, right? Just circle back to that again. I think one of the things I've learned just early stage is, especially fundraising, having these like talks with investors and you're, you know, trying to find product market fit, you're trying to validate the product. I initially was really resistant. I didn't want the team spending time on email campaigns or things. It's like, we're trying to build an app, not an email newsletter. Well, turns out if I get really good conversion in the email and I need to generate revenue at the early stage, I need to get creative and I need to stop being like a purist about the application and look instead at where are my users? Where can I, you know, touch them and where are they listening to me? And it's just interesting because it's like thinking outside of the product in order to generate that early traction to continue with your mission or your vision of building your product and being open to different ways of doing that. I accidentally built a feature and we learned this by, we were emailing our moms every single day with stories from the team and the community. And so they loved it. And we started these daily push notifications just as like a transition when I had to hire a different marketing director. And when the new marketing director came on, I told her, oh, you can just turn off those pushes. It was just until we got somebody new in the position. our moms were pissed. They loved those daily affirmations. And I don't know how many people hear that from their customers. Like, yes, send us a push notification every single day. Send us an email every day. But we learned that these are different places that our users are listening to us and they're wanting us to communicate with them and bring them value. And so why not use that as a channel to try and convert? It might not be in the application, but you know what? If it grows that revenue, you're going to get more investors excited about what you're doing. And so, you know, it's just about thinking about that long-term goal, I think.
Mel, you got anything to add?
I love email. I mean, I know we talked about it offline about monetizing your email list, and it's the secret sauce. I mean, social media, which is where we built a big part of our community, we have no idea what happens when the algorithm changes. And I think right now about 2% of any business's content gets seen by their audience. With email, you own them. They might not look at the email that you send them, but you do appear in their inbox. And that's another brand touch point that just hits them and builds onto that trust. So I love email.
You know, I sent an email to my list and I was like, email is not dead. Or I said something about email. And he's like, email is dead. And I'm like, bro, you just replied. Like, come on, it's not dead. So James, I mean, John, do you have any other, can we open up to some questions?
Yeah, let's take, I don't think I'm on here, but let's take a couple questions real quick, and I'm going to hold you a mic that I don't think is, oh, there it is, yeah. Thank you.
Question for Jillian. You said the Stripe is way easier compared to Apple to test the price points. Is it because you don't use a software like RevenueCat, or even if using a software like RevenueCat where you can A-B test, is it still Stripe better?
We're using RevenueCat. That's where those graphs came from. The first ones that you were seeing, that was a huge game changer for us. We implemented RevenueCat in quarter two of last year. I mean, it changed everything. We have a native Android app, a native iOS app. And then, like I said, we're doing some transaction for web. So yes, RevenueCat definitely helps us with being able to test pricing and products and things, but it's still a development lift to implement those different pricing options and to make sure that your paywall is going to show the right price to the customer with the right logic. And we initially just had those two products set up. And so it's actually something I'm working on now. It's getting more pricing testing and things going that we are able to focus on that. But, you know, in terms of also with these partnerships and things, I want to be able to easily have promo codes and or influencer marketing. I want to give Jenny 20 to all of her mom community a quick promo. Like Apple does not make that easy. They have some new products in App Store Connect that we're learning about. But again, early stage, limited revenue, limited development resources. Like we don't necessarily have access to the latest and greatest tools and configurations. Or if the SDK updates, you know, am I going to update the SDK or am I going to put a new feature in or test? Like I have to make really hard choices at this stage.
Cool. And time for one more quick question and quick answer.
Hi, I just want to congratulate you for the Moms app because you're reaching a market that is not easy to reach because they're just getting into this cool thing called the internet. So receiving news feeds make them feel cool. And that's the market that you're reaching, but that wouldn't work for millennials. We hate newsletters. We hate that freaking, like, every weekly newsletter. Yeah, we can Google it. Thank you. But I don't need it in my inbox. Yeah. So that's pretty cool that the moms like their newsletters because that means your market reach is on spot. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Steve. And panel. Finally. Please give them a round. Great job, guys. Great job. Wonderful. Thank you. And by the way, that was not Sonny's fault that he was late. We've been messing with the agenda. Yeah. And so, like, it was our fault. So just so you know, you can pay me later. I love that question, question that you had about the newsletters because, yeah, I get like 200, 300 pitches a day. My email is a nuclear wasteland. You know, there's no chance I'm going to see that. Well, there's some chance, but anyways. Okay, cool. So we have another session, obviously. And this one is about acquiring users for free. I assume it doesn't include robots. I hope it doesn't include robots. This session is by Francisco Cornejo. Please welcome him.
So much. No robots, yes. And it's a very nice...
Tired of overpaying for App Store optimization? Get unlimited ASO and app marketing support to increase your keyword rankings, downloads, and more importantly, your revenue. Learn more at asomasters.com.
Thanks for listening to the App Masters podcast. For show notes and amazing app marketing content, check out appmasters.co.